In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God. Try that again. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Our gospel reading today is pretty powerful. God's word is powerful, but for some people, this gospel reading is very near and dear. They can relate very deeply to what Jesus does in revealing who God is. It's powerful. It's from Luke chapter 15, and it'll be the basis of our meditation. I'll read it to you, and then we'll start thinking about the good news. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" And so, in the name of Jesus, dear prodigal sons and daughters of God, this is a powerful story. It's just a story. But it's meant to convey some powerful truths for us who really know what it's like to waste and squander and do stupid things and make bad decisions only to say, "What in the world have I gotten myself into now?" This story is called the story of the prodigal son. But in truth, certainly there's one son who is lost in self-absorbed, hedonistic destruction. But the other one is lost in self-righteous pride. You could actually call this the story of the prodigal sons, plural. But is it really about the sons at all? Isn't it about the story of the loving father? Story of the loving father who does whatever it takes to care for his family? It's really a story of God. And it all started when Jesus was compelled to tell these stories because of the complaint. It's most profound. He actually tells a couple of stories before this one. But he tells this story because the Pharisees and the scribes grumble, saying, "This man sits and eats with sinners." They don't get it. They just don't get it. They don't like it. Jesus, a rabbi, has come, and Jesus is messing with their religion. He's messing with the way you're supposed to do church. It looks like he's breaking the rules of fellowship. They just don't get God. And I must give you a warning too. The danger in your life and my life is to actually think we know more about God than we really do. I mean, think about it. These are the Pharisees. These are the scribes. These are the leaders of the church, the lay leaders of the church that day. They could easily be called the council. Some of these people, the president. Some of these people, the treasurer. Some of these people, the board of elders. Pastor. This was the strong lay group of that day that was about the synagogue rule, the rabbi movement of lay preachers sharing the word of God, training up. And here's God in flesh and blood before them, and they're saying, "We don't like what you're doing to our religion." And it's for this very purpose that all of that system was in place, so that they would receive the Messiah when he showed up. But he's showing up in a different way than they understand. And all they can do is protest. And so Jesus, the heart of God, seeks to care for them. And so he tells them the story about the prodigal sons. One lost in self-absorbing hedonism, self-destructing modes. The other one lost in self-righteous pride. They're both in trouble. And yet the Father cares for them both. It's interesting. So one goes away, loses everything, and we hear this. It's pretty powerful. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." How many days was the father looking, going home with no sight of his son? And yet he kept looking, he kept waiting, he kept hoping, knowing for his return. A long way off. And then he ran. And then he embraced. And then he kissed. And then he gave his son the best, robed him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, had a celebration. And then the other son, "How dare you, Dad?" It's interesting, he uses the pronoun "your son." And he didn't like hearing about how his brother, your brother, has come back. It's interesting, maybe you did this with your kids. You know, your kids. No, they're our kids, honey. And so the dad reasons with the son who's just angry and lost in self-righteous pride. Isn't it a beautiful picture of the father caring for both? If anybody knows how complicated family can be, it's God. And yet God's heart is for the family. He cares for both sons. Maybe you relate to one son more than the other. Maybe there's been enough life underneath your feet that you can relate to both sons and see how you've fallen short in not only in a wasteful life, but also in a self-righteous life. But it's really about the Father and his heart for you. And it's also about another son. How does it go? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, there was one who came and did everything right. He was always kind. He always cared for people. And yet he would be the one in the family that would take the whipping that no one else could take. He did what no one else could do. It's fascinating to think how Jesus came. How did the epistle reading go? God made him who had no sin to be sin on our behalf. And so it's because of Jesus that you and I are rescued and brought into God's family. And here's the good news. Jesus really knows who and what you and I are. And he loves us to death. And he wants us to trust in what he's done. Because that's how we are saved. We are not saved by our efforts, by our self-righteous efforts, by our hedonistic behaviors. We are saved because of what Jesus has done for us. It's in that wonderful exchange where Jesus takes upon himself all of our failure. And we are given his perfection. In Christ, you are favored highly by God. It's interesting. So their complaint was, see, this man sits and eats with sinners. Man, that's the good news. Their complaint was actually the good news in one sentence. Jesus sits and eats with sinners. Thank the Lord he does. That means he welcomes us into his midst. Not only that, but we have a meal here today where the Lord blesses us. It was really fun yesterday. Don't get a lot of meals where I see anybody these days. And it was really fun. All of us had breakfast yesterday early morning. And it was so fun to see everybody. It was so fun to see the family, the Rolofson family, all around the table at one time. It used to be that's the way it was all the time. And then those days are gone. And it was so fun. So as the Lord gathers us to his table today, he takes joy in seeing you. So hang out with God's family. Yes, families are complicated subjects. God's family. It's interesting, in Bible study I talk about how the gospel gathers people from all different walks of life. Really, in truth, the church is a fellowship of misfits. The gospel saves us from clubbing or clicking. We are here to be a group of people drawn from different places. We're blessed by God, made a part of his family, and God's family is meant to be a place where everyone fits. And because of that, we can be a complicated place. We're not always going to agree with each other. Let's love and forgive. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. That's what healthy families do. Let's hang out with Jesus together, knowing that he loves our company. Just like we love the company of our family. You know, sometimes I wish we had a Bible study after this service so that you could stick around for a little while. I know you run. Some of you I haven't seen in Bible study ever, I don't think. But we need to be in the Word. The danger for us is to think we have God figured out, just like back in the Lord's day. When we really need to learn and grow and stay in the Word gives us a lens to understand what's happening around us, how we can understand what we're seeing. And we need that because the danger back then is the same danger today. God wants us to know him better. He wants us to grow in our relationship with him. And we do that, trusting in what Jesus has done, learning about the love of the Son, and trusting in his sacrifice. Because faith in Jesus saves. And it not only saves us, but it empowers us to tell the story of God's family. Just like Isaiah chapter 12, telling the good news of what our dad has done through our big brother, the Son of God, the Son of Man. In the name of Jesus, amen.